Hologram radio show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And Ash Riot is eating chocolate. That's why it took her a while to talk to you.
And Rhea is eating chocolate too.
And we have our extra special guest, Rhea, here, who we're graciously receiving her talent and expertise last radio show when we were talking about. What were we talking about, Ash?
Uh-oh.
Animal totems.
That's what I was going to say, but I wanted you to say it because your voice sounds nicer saying it.
Yeah, that's the radio voice. That's right. I'm funny. You're funny. We're funny. No, I'm catching you in between chocolate chews.
Actually, no. And Rhea is a fabulous woman who works at Abraham's Books.
On Commercial Drive at the corner of 12th Avenue and Commercial in Vancouver. And they have been there for how many years, Rhea?
Seven years.
All right.
Go there and shop there if you live in Vancouver. If you don't, fly out there and go check out Abraham's Books. It's awesome.
It really is. It's a fantastic metaphysical shop. It's got not only great books, but also many tools to help you connect to your extra sensory perceptive power and guides and awarenesses. It's really cool.
It's awesome.
It's awesomely cool.
It's awesomely coolly awesome.
It's coolio.
We could probably go on and on for a long time.
So we are talking about numerology tonight, folks. We've basically called our show Numbers and How They Can Speak to You, because we actually were talking about our topic. Here goes Ash. A little bit of a sneeze there.
Excuse me.
Yep.
It's spring.
She's so excited. The numbers just make her sneeze. Actually, I had somebody tell me that sneezing means spirit is around.
Oh. So, well.
Do you think that's true?
Yep. I was going to say something like, hey, some dead guy made me coffee. But it's not true, right? So, or like we could say something like, I'm with all my friends who are not here right now. And
but they're here.
But they're here.
So it's all great.
Hi, Graham.
Hi, Grandma. Baba, man. It's Baba. Can you pass me my coffee, please?
Sure.
There we are.
That's not yours. Yours is over there.
Oh, I moved it from A to G.
But anyway, what I really wanted to say to everybody is that
we're not high.
We don't believe in the use of narcotics and or other substances. But anyway, we're really excited about the show today because I, for one, didn't really know too much about numerology. And then I talked to Rhea the other day, and she was explaining some stuff to me because she, you know, with her expertise and stuff. So I am really excited to hear more about numerology, even from her point, and I hope you guys do too, with Cheryl and Rhea and me too. Also, I wanted to let you know that you are always welcome, and I really hope that you do today. Call in. If you call in, what do you get? Everybody, say it with me.
A cyber hug from Ash.
That's right. So if you would like a cyber hug from me, please
pound it.
Please pound it and call 888-627-6008. That's in USA or Canada, or there's also other lines, but whatever. It's 888-627-6008. Call in, please. It would make our day and discuss numerology with us. We know you're listening. So you know what? Pick up the phone and we'll make each other's day.
So anyways, I want to just, before you go ahead and whatever the other numbers, I want to encourage our listeners from around the world, not only USA and Canada, but around the world. There are numbers on the BBS site. If you're logged in right now, you're on the Hologram Radio Show site. You can see the numbers there. I'll give you one number if you're interested. If you're calling from overseas, you can dial 1-530-327-7602. Or if you're in England, you got to phone your operator and ask about the 0111 codes and all that. So,
or just Skype
us. I never
us.
Was good. Even when I was in Europe, it was always difficult for me. I forget. So anyways, just so you know, you don't have to be in the U.S. or Canada. You can call us from...
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are what? England is 8 hours ahead. and France is 9 hours.
But you can Skype.
You're up pretty early.
Skype us. It's just BBS Radio. Skype us. It'll be fun. You know, you'll be happy that you did.
So I wanted to just continue on with what I was saying about us, the reason why we're doing this, because Ash and I were discussing how numbers are very much a part of our life and have been for a long time. They keep coming up for us. And for me personally, this is Cheryl, they act as, they're like green lights for me. They're very much a guiding kind of force. And so I really pay attention to the numbers that are around me, whether I see them on a building or on a car license plate in front of me or on a form. Or in a phone number, they always seem to speak to me in ways just to let me know that, hey, you're on the right path and we got your back. That's basically how I kind of see them. And numerology has been around for a lot of years, and I always like to kind of look back and see the history of anything that we discuss or talk about. And so I go always, where do I go, everybody? To my trustee. Wikipedia.
She's on Wiki all the time. Oh, let's Wiki that.
Yes, let's Wiki that. So numerology is any study of the purported divine, mystical, or other special relationship between a count or a measurement and life. And so numerology has many systems and traditions, and it's gone back, way back. I mean, it goes back, I was reading 4,000 years, actually, they've got documentation of people using numerology, and early mathematicians like Pythagoras used what was then a system that was quite popular called isopsephy. Do you know anything about isopsephy? Isopsephy. And that was known as numerological divination. But today, however, there is it's no longer considered a part of mathematics because it's now considered like a pseudo-mathematic or a pseudoscience. So numerology isn't really, I guess, in some circles taken seriously. It's kind of gotten to, you know, from being seriously considered and seen as something to be valid and have validity to something that is questioned, because today numerology is associated with the paranormal and is kind of categorized alongside astrology and similar divinatory arts. So we're kind of coming from a place of, I'll just speak for myself, where we just use it in our own lives, or where we feel that it actually has validity and it does speak some kind of truth. And I know that Rhea, we were talking to Rhea about numerology because she's very good with when she does her readings, she will actually ask, is it for birth date or do you ask for a name?
Birth name, name that you use currently, and birth date.
So birth name, name that you use currently, and your birth date, and then that takes it from there. That's a tool for Rhea when she's doing her readings to help to read the customer, the client. So I don't know, is there anything you wanted to sort of talk about with regards to numerology, Rhea? Because you're more of an expert here than we are. We just kind of live it. We can't really tell anybody how.
Basically, everything is frequency, and whether it's music, colors, crystals, it all has a numerical frequency, if you will. What it does, it's divination purposes. It can tell your potential realities, propensities, illnesses, even pinpoint past life things. It's just another tool, like tarot, like chakras. It's another modality to incorporate in so-called readings.
So it also then could be another tool that we can incorporate into our life in terms of getting greater clarity, maybe even to our divine path or you know, why our question that most of us ask ourselves at some point in our life is, why am I here? Mm-hmm. So it can lend to that.
Yeah, you can change your name, which changes frequency, but you can't change your birth date, which would be your destiny path.
So let's talk about that too, because that's one thing I've known my destiny path number for a long time. I'm a 3. And for those of you who don't know how to calculate your destiny path number from your birth date, is what you do is you take every number from your birth date. So say you're born January 1st in 2000, you would take January as 1, 1st as 1, and 2000 as 2 and 3 zeros. So basically you're a 4. So you take 1 plus 1 plus 2, there are no other digits, and you become a 4. And that's your life path number. If you have a number where it all adds up to, say, 228, that would be 2 plus 8, which is 1, which means you are a 1. Can you tell us a little bit about master number? 11?
Master number is like 11 would be like a teacher number. It's a very high vibration. And you just don't take the 11. You take it as 1 plus 1. That makes a difference. It's your job on this planet, I guess you could say, would be to impart spiritual awareness, uplifting other individuals. But it's a blessing and a curse, because with that high frequency or high vibration also comes things like, for instance, allopathic medicines or certain food additives. Things will affect you because the vibration is a high, 11, which is 2, a high thing. And it would affect you in a more ways than any other number.
Really?
So in that way, blessing and a curse. Yes, you're gifted with this, but it can also have the opposite side as well.
Wow.
You have to incorporate.
That was my numerology guy didn't tell me that one. I actually got a reading recently from a fellow who did my name, and I haven't had a numerology chart done since I was, I think, in my 20s, and so it'd been a while, and he said I had a lot of 11. Yeah. Blessing and a curse.
Which is good. Well,
makes sense.
Yeah, because with that responsibility, right, it's correct use of that power, that wisdom, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Well, Ash, you've been reading up. You wanted to share some things.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I'll touch upon for numerology is basically what I've really seen, like, even a lot of, I'm all a music teacher, as maybe some of our listeners know, and even a lot of my students will say, oh, look, it's, you know, 444, or, oh, look, it's 555, or something like that, and that's really great, and that's a real good way, like Cheryl was saying, and I talked to Rhea about it, the Doreen Virtue
angel number sequences.
Yeah, angel number sequences, which can really be, like, guides, and they can be, you know, almost another way of divination, like, you know, whatever the form of divination. But a lot of times, like, I was reading about the conscious, the subconscious, and for that to really work, it's really, you can't give it too much thought. Say if I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, it's 4:42. In 2 minutes it'll be 4:44. Wait for it. Aha, I saw 4:44. Like, the subconscious and the conscious play a really big part, because when you're in your conscious and you're thinking, you know what, maybe if I see 444, it'll help me. So I'm just going to wait here for 2 minutes and see it. Or you could be just driving in your car and be like, you know what, I need a sign. All of a sudden you just look down and it's 444. That's a lot different than if you're trying to consciously change, you know, how you view something. And that was really big for me, because I like, a lot of people were like, oh yeah, I'm going to stare at the clock for 11:11, because when it's 11:11, that means I can make a wish. And I'm thinking, okay, sure. Like, if you want to view it like that, who am I to say anything? But I find that numerology, as far as, you know, signs and divination, really helps when you are not necessarily consciously waiting to see something. I think it's a really great way for spirit to even give you a sign through numbers. 'Cause I mean, how, you know, you think of something at a certain time and it's completely aligned by the numbers and you can see it on a clock or something. That's really great. Or you're like, happened to me the other day. I was driving and I followed a few cars that said 777. And I wasn't really looking or anything. I was just kind of like, oh, things are, how am I going to, you know, what am I going to do? I got to figure out this and this and this. And all of a sudden there it is. It's just like,
so tell everybody what 777 means.
That is that a master number, or what?
No, 777 is the out of the Doreen Virtue. For those of you who are interested in checking it out, you can basically just Google Doreen Virtue angel number sequences, and you'll see her list of what each number and each combination of numbers means. And what 777 is it's very auspicious. It's a very auspicious series. If you see 777. Is probably the most auspicious of all numbers. That's basically the highest, you know, high five from the universe, basically saying, you know, don't worry, you got, everything's not only good, it's actually quite fantastic. So, you know, that's, it's a very auspicious series of numbers.
Yeah, so that's what I was basically saying. Just pay attention to, you know, how you're going about your conscious numerology.
Well, I think it's with anything. When we're connecting to spirit, This is what I was thinking as you're sharing that, Ash, because I understand what you mean versus, you know, conscious versus subconscious, being hyper aware versus versus actually just waiting for the miracle.
Yeah.
And what I kind of equate it to is it's like, say it's your birthday coming up and you really want to have a party and you're hoping your significant other or best friend or whoever who is close to you will plan a party or something will happen. And then you're kind of going, well, maybe I should plan it myself or maybe I should plant some seeds and say, hey, you know, why don't you make me a party? And then maybe a party's made and it's not such a surprise. And you actually in doing that, you actually take away the joy of not only you receiving something, but you also giving it. So this is kind of like the universe going, you know what? You know, just this is your surprise party.
I'm remembering your last birthday and how someone gave you the Mexican birthday, one of your friends, the Mexican birthday sign.
Oh, yes, yes, my Mexican birthday sign, yes.
Mexican
said happy
sign.
Birthday in Spanish.
Instead, it's like, and I was thinking, you know, if he didn't even show you, if he told you before all that, it's like, it's going to take away the surprise. You're going to be like, I'm going to wake up and there's going to be a Mexican birthday sign. But no, you woke up and you were surprised by the Mexican birthday sign.
That's right. And it's so much better when somebody or, you know, and the universe is some, you know, I don't know. The universe is so loving and so there for us. And it does, you know, there is that essence of, I just want to surprise you. I don't want you to be kind of waiting for it all. And it's also brings stress.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm sitting in front of a clock and I'm going, okay, I'm hanging on to my seat going, I'm going to sit here for 10 minutes till I see 444, which by the way is angels. Mm-hmm. 444 is the angelic, you know, saying that angels are around you and helping you. So I'm going to sit and I'm going to hang on until I see that. Then I'll know the angels are with me, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of, it detracts from the whole experience.
Miracle.
Of being able to feel that you're truly connected and truly cared for by a divine source.
Exactly.
I also wanted to mention here too, I was talking to Ash about this and Rhea with this. We had coffee today and we were talking about the show and I was saying about how numbers specifically, when we, for example, the Doreen Virtue, I'm going to use her as an example because I use hers quite a bit. Before I saw the table that pertains to certain numbers that Doreen Virtue had created, I didn't really have an awareness around those particular numbers or what they particularly meant. And it's not to say that Doreen Virtue has the one language. Just like in the world, we have how many multitudes of languages on this planet, and we can communicate in a variety of ways. So this is, it's not like I had to, Doreen Virtue had the only language in the world, and then I had to, you know, stumble on it, and then that's the only way the universe could talk to me. What it is for me is that I get acquainted with a language, then the universe says, you know what, Cheryl knows that language, I'm going to speak to her in that language because she knows it.
That's true.
And I think it's important for people to know that because I think that sometimes we get caught up in doing the right things and understanding the right way that the universe speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
And just trust that the way that you know is the right way.
That's true.
And this is important even with numerology. And I know there's certain things with numbers that are very concrete and this is what number three means. Like, I know there is that, and maybe Rhea, you can touch on that a little bit too, but I'm speaking specifically about sort of an interpretation, and I'll use Doreen Virtue's number sequences as an example, because I think it's so imperative. I think we get caught up in the spiritual movement where we're worried that we're doing it wrong, or we get, I've seen people get so confused because they're going to this seminar and this talk and this church and that church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all just basically nothing's happening. It just creates more confusion and more chaos because we're so desperately trying to find the right path that we're not stopping and just kind of enjoying the path one step at a time.
True.
And I think it's important here just to mention that to those of you who might even be having that experience, because I'll tell you this, I can relate. Is there anything else, Rhea, you want to say about numbers and numerology?
Well, yeah, we still got a whole like 40 minutes left. So whoever wants to call in and, you know, maybe we can even give you a little bit of a mini reading or something, or talk to you about your numerology or whatever. Something like that. We can just talk about it or whatever. Call in. And Rhea.
I just would add that you don't even have to know specifically what the numbers mean, because they're a frequency and they're going to interact with you whether you understand what it is that they're doing in your life or not. If you think of the brain as an electrochemical computer, and numbers are binary codes. And so what they do is specifically they create patterns of experience and realities. That's it. Pretty simple. People will break it down in just like a binary code and tell you what each number means, what the combinations of those numbers mean, what your potentialities of your future realities are.
Cool.
That's really cool.
So it's kind of like electricity. You may not know how it works, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's going to be the quote of our show. Remember the sewer system of love?
That's right. That was Ash.
That was
one day,
me.
One day you'll be on Wiki.
Yeah, Ash's famous quote. There are many pipes in the sewer system of love. That was a good one. I still like that. Yeah, that was me. Famous.
Famous. Yeah. Famous. That's great.
Oh, winning.
Well, I love that. Winning. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Winning.
Well, I just want to relate a little bit about how I've kind of relied on numbers for many, many years of my life. And I wasn't, even before I was aware that 3 was my life path number, 3 always was, it just made itself present in my mind, in my mind's eye, in my life. It kept popping up repeatedly. And I found that 3 actually was like green light for me. So if I, for example, was considering or was moving into a place or there was an address, and if the numbers added up, say even anything added up to 3, then it seemed to be the place for me to be, a place of tranquility, and I would have a better experience. And it basically helped to guide me. And it was really funny because I kind of kept it to myself because I thought it was odd, and I didn't really share that with anybody because I'm going, well, you know, I'm going to tell people, yeah, I use 3s in my life a lot. They keep coming up, and it's where I live and where I go to school and the numbers of my driver's license and on, right? And until I actually worked at when I used to teach modeling and personal development at John Casablancas, and I worked with a gentleman there who was an actor from Indiana, the Hoosier State. And then he was the only person, he gave me permission because he said to me, oh, yes, I am a number. I can't even remember his number, but all I remember is that he told me I'm a number, blah, you know, 2, say, and 2s keep coming up for me in my life. And then it's like, wow, thank you, man. I mean, just in a random conversation, suddenly I was excitedly sharing with him how 3s.
You were accepted in a way.
Well, no, it was just, I thought it was weird. And then here's this virtual stranger telling me about how numbers come up in his life. And it gave me permission to be excited about and share that was my experience too. So I think it's really cool if we can kind of take that. And I have taken to that is that, you know, sharing the things that we think are weird, because it often gives other people permission to kind of go, yeah, me too. Or, yeah, that's not so weird. And then we feel less weird and less different. So that's what started me. And then as soon as I just talked to him, that was it. I was off and running, and I would tell people, you know, if they're interested in saying, hey, how do numbers relate to your life? Or
that's how synchronicities, they open up awareness. And then once you have that awareness, you can actually work with the frequencies. So now you know the meaning of 3, and you know that it's more than a synchronicity. It's actually an awakening in you. And so you're going with the cosmic flow.
Yeah. So he helped me to go with it. I mean, I was kind of going with it, but I wasn't really talking about going with it.
Well, 3 is perfect. It's all about communication. And, yeah. And look what you do. Everything is communication, whether you're in music, radio, acting. Communicator, 3, as your life.
Cool.
And a manifestation.
And a oh, I like 3, the Trinity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So and deep. That the hologram. I mean, even when I was designing the logo for the band, mm-hmm. isn't that weird? I didn't even, I had no knowledge. I was just going by intuition, draw a circle, then put a triangle in the middle. And then I'm going, yeah, see, that was, again, that's one of those doo 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 doo. And you're going afterwards, you go, it's a manifestation. It's isn't it the earth sign as well? It's connected mm-hmm. to the earth. And so I really love that just came, you know, just naturally without me trying to get overly zealous in terms of researching and making sure this is right and that's right. See, bottom line, folks, what I found in my life is it all works out. Yeah, wing it. Yeah, you wing it, because a lot of times when you wing it and just trust your intuition more than your book knowledge, or more than, and not to say that seminars and courses don't serve you, because I've done a lot in that way too, but just be able to know when to pull back and just to trust yourself more, right? Just to trust yourself, because it's about self-empowerment. It's not about reliance on anything.
Well, it's the same way when even working with different elements, like think about it. Say you're even like any recipe, like by elements, I mean, like, say you're even gonna, you watch a recipe on YouTube or something, and they're telling you how to make something that your grandma used to make, you know, it's their version or something. I mean, when you're trying to make something feel the same or experience it the same, you can't, it's not always going to be the same. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, if you're learning to use Doreen Virtues and, you're using her, I guess, life experience towards your own, they're two different lives. So they're going to be different, you know, but there's always a place to start, just like there's a place to start in any recipe, but you can make it your own. And like, I mean, you know, that's pretty cool.
I know what you're saying, but what I feel grateful to Doreen Virtue for even compiling that is that she took the time to connect to write this list of numbers that that I'm finding makes sense to me. Like suddenly it's like I found a language, and I'm going, now the universe knows I found the language, and it's going, okay, we can talk to you through this language now.
That's,
because
I
there's
with
an understanding
there.
Yeah. But it's just the same as when you're doing oracle readings, say you're using oracle cards. Mm-hmm. I could take a deck, and I could use the Magdalene deck, for example, and I could use it in my way, and then you would take the same Rhea, the same deck, the Magdalene deck, and use it in your way. And you, Ash, would take the Magdalene deck and use it in your way. But we could get essentially almost, you know, a lot of similarities in the reading for one particular person, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's just how we kind of read things. Again, it's about individualism, too. It's not about this is the right way and this is the wrong way.
The thing, too, is with doing readings, the reason for asking for people's birth information and name is because it's like a library card. So you have that frequency of that individual, which hooks you up to the Akashic Records, which is the library imprint of information from this person's lives, past lives. And it's a special frequency. So it's like a lock. It's like a key. Unlocks the information for you.
So the more the key, I mean, who wouldn't want the key? Right?
It's just easier for people that are in readings to have that information. It doesn't even have to be time of birth.
You know, it's interesting. The gentleman who read my numerology for me, who did the reading for me, he was sharing that he, for an experiment, because he's just so fascinated and has been working with numbers for 20 years, he made three different applications for a position, and he asked for the full names of each individual boss who was going to be interviewing him. And he basically, I know he was asking five, sorry. And so each person that he got the name for, and he went to the interview, he had already done their numbers, and he knew how to read them and how to get the job.
Wow.
And he said that he was offered every job except one, because the one that he wasn't offered, he didn't get the full initial. He was only given the initial, I think, J, and he didn't get the full name.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So he went into these, you know, job opportunities just knowing these individuals based on their name. That was it, just knowing their name. And I thought that was fascinating.
That's really fascinating.
So, I mean, I'm not even in that caliber in terms of, you know, maybe I should be writing down everybody's name. And even he was talking about changing your name when you get married, to be very careful, you know, about changing your name for marriage, and, you know, whether or not you should take another person's name, and how it changes the numbers and it changes the vibration.
Absolutely. It works in relationships. We have a lot of people wanting to know about compatibility. And again, that's your birth date. What are the challenges? What are the natural propensities of that relationship? What is the lesson, if you will, of that relationship? Because a lot of people get in a relationship and say, oh, it didn't work out. That was a mistake. No, it wasn't a mistake. There was a lesson here, and this is what it is. And numerology can assist in that.
So do we want to know all of that? Or do you think that we kind of, there needs to be an element of surprise in our lives too, to keep it to keep it fun so we don't get bored, like we're talking about at dinner.
Most people want to know. They mostly come in wanting to know the compatibility. They don't want to, as they put it, I don't want to waste my time and put all the effort that it takes into this relationship if there's a incompatibility to start with. But then again, like you said,
you should know that intuitively.
Yeah, exactly. Does that go into
sorry.
Yeah, some people, love is blind.
Yes.
But I know what you're saying, and some people, I mean, who's to say that's not part of your life lesson, is to be in a relationship with this individual, even though it is going to be challenging for you to further your own spiritual growth.
I think a lot of us want guarantees.
That's it.
And especially with the divorce rate now being over 50%, right? And when we come to love relationships and we're all, you know, most of us are quite concerned about our stuff. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be sharing our stuff with someone that we're going to have to be dividing our stuff with in 5 years, right? So I can understand that. Yeah. But unfortunately, I don't think there are any guarantees. And you know what's really interesting too? This gentleman, he took my married name and he said in the name that he saw that it wouldn't work out. And I said, well, how can you see that it won't work out in just my name and my number? He says, no, because he said 2 and a 4, mm-hmm. 2 and a 4. And he said, that means right away that it's not. And I mean, would I have altered my decision? I don't think I would have, because I think I still would have followed what I would have believed to be my life path based on my heart. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if I had gone to him, you know, years and years ago before I even embarked on that, then would I have changed my mind if he had told me that? I don't know. He said that you can actually enter a marriage and not change your name. Mm-hmm. And that can, you know... But that can make an impact.
There's also free will. And I have seen it where people will come in and numbers will be incompatible or names. But yet, if you make them aware of these are the challenges, this is what it's going to take to overcome it. I guarantee you, if the love is there,
they will overcome.
Yeah, I've seen that happen too. So.
So then this is great, because it doesn't, then we don't feel that we are actually basically kind of puppets of this big puppet master, and you know, that we are at some kind of, you
mercy.
Know, yeah, we actually have the ability to alter in some ways.
It's just awareness. I mean, there are like latent or hidden tendencies that you may not know intuitively when you meet an individual or you're in a situation, and this can add some depth and clarity. So that when it does arise, or if it does arise, you are aware of it and you better know what skills that you need to handle that.
Weird question, expert Rhea.
Don't say expert.
You are.
I'm a student. No.
Queen of numbers.
I'm a student.
No.
We're all students and masters.
We're all students in the world of love. Anyway, here it is.
Oh, no.
Can animals have numerology?
Yes.
Because my beloved soulmate, Mushu, he Aww. Is my beloved soulmate Aww. Cat, who is just the most beautiful little angel. He is just the most perfect little soul in the world. I don't know when he was born because I rescued him. But I know his name because, well, I was like, hi, what's your name? And then he's like, Mularushu. So I was like, okay. Mularushu. Yeah. Mularushu. So I was like, okay, that's great. That now, okay. But I don't know how I'd find out numerology without his birthday. But we can do Travis.
Yeah. Well, Travis, our little rescue dog, the chug that came to us from Orange County, California.
He likes to swing.
He likes to swing. Oh, this is crazy. We're going to be putting a YouTube video up because we discovered that Travis actually sits in the baby swing and swings.
At the park.
At the
park.
He
loves it. His legs just dangle there. He sits up straight.
Like
he
a loves little boy.
He falls asleep. He loves to swing. And we have pictures. Maybe we'll put one up on our page.
Yeah, we should. But we're going to put together a YouTube video. That's the intention of Travis swinging.
Yeah, it's so cute.
He's going to be a sensation.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were given his birth date. I was given his birth date with the records that I got from Orange County. And it was April 26th, 2009. April 26th.
Like
he's a 3 just like me.
You. There you go.
Wow.
Like.
And we're a couple of manifestors. Now that's how come he's swinging.
Nice.
We manifested it together. Here, little dog, sit in this baby swing and don't move. And I'm moving away. Oh, look, you're not doing anything. I'm surprised. What happens when I push you? Oh, look, your little paws are holding on. This is really crazy. Well, look, lady comes over, takes a picture because it's pretty crazy.
She's just like,
oh. She's like, I can't believe it. Look at this. Can I take a picture? So, yeah, so we have a swinging dog. So, yeah, this is quite something. So he's a three. That's his life. And his name was, again, we just basically picked his name. Yeah, from one of... From outside.
From outside.
Anyways, so that's interesting. He's a three. Mm-hmm. You're a six, aren't you?
I'm a three.
You're a three. Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Look at all the synchronicity here.
How about you?
Six.
Six. Okay,
there you
cool.
go. So it's wow. 6, 9 is the wow. grouping of that. And
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who's our nine? Maybe Mularushu.
Maybe.
Oh,
well, that's pretty cool, actually. And if you would like to find out your life path number, call in at 888-627-6008. I would like to repeat that one more time. Thank you. 888-627-6008. Call in. It's really fun.
Not only if you want to know your life path number, you can figure that out on your own just by adding up all the digits, but just we can give you an insight as to what it means and what attributes you have and maybe what challenges you have to face based on your life path number.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I think that'd be a great time.
Well, that's funny. Travis is a three. Now, if we take animals and we talk about our animals, and I know I was talking to a lady today at coffee who came over and was very emotional sharing her, can I touch your dog? Is he going to bite me? No. And talking to me about her pit bull and how she was very emotional and sad. He was a rescue, but he was apparently, I guess, abused. And, both parents were fighters, raised as fighters. And so she was having difficulty. He had actually dug out of the yard and attacked, a gentleman, I guess. And there were concerns around him not being safe. And so she made the heartbreaking decision to have to put him down and talking about, you know, here I am talking to a stranger and she's sharing very emotionally about letting this dog go. But if we were to kind of relate, I think a lot of us kind of put humans in one place and animals in another. How would numerology, like, would she have been able to see, for example, that this dog is a dog of problems if she were to know the dog's numbers, do you think? How can we, maybe even picking out a pet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does anybody actually take numerology and make a decision as to whether a pet would work for them or not?
They do because, again, being everything is frequency. They will take and see if there's compatibility. In other words, for the owner to rise to the challenges of that specific pet, perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never even thought of that before. I just kind of thought, you know, when I picked out even Anna, my Labrador retriever, that was over the phone and she was a female chocolate lab and I couldn't find females and I had her flown over without, you know, sight unseen, didn't even ask her birthday, just send her. See, this is where my intuition and my life, it just kind of things work out. And then I find out later that things all kind of gelled, you know, but I don't make a lot of times I don't make decisions prior, you know, with knowledge as to whether or not it's going to gel. I kind of make decisions intuitively.
Know.
And then afterwards I get, you know, these reveals that, oh, wow, that just fit and that worked out. And that I had her, she was with me for 15 and a half years, you know. And I had actually very methodically picked out a dog prior to her, a Weimaraner that was a special breed. They're called the Grey Ghost. They're a German dog. And it was a show dog. And I went to the breeder and I had to pass the interview. I mean, this was really something. I mean, and I had to be, you know, I had to promise I would show this dog. And she had to make sure I was the right kind of lady for this dog and on and on. And it was all a big, you know, big deal about this dog. Then finally I get to pick up this dog and I take the dog home. And within a month or two, I just couldn't handle the dog. The dog was crazy and eating my clothes and wrecking my house and so stubborn and not listening to me. And I thought, I can't live with this dog. So anyways, so I took a lot of time and effort picking the first one. Didn't work out. I just picked up the phone and said, what's your dog, female? Send her over. And had her actually flown over from Campbell River on a float plane.
Wow.
That's the story of Anna. All right.
We have Jax on line one.
Hey, Jax.
Hey. Figured I'd come in and just, you know, didn't sound like anyone else was calling in, so I would call in.
Thanks for calling in, Jax.
So actually, with a question that I came a little late because my computer had restarted itself. And so I'm not sure if you guys actually addressed this or not. And if you did, then cool. If not, then yay, I have a question. So, like, for people who have, you know, nicknames that they're known by very significantly, I mean, like, everyone calls Ash Ash, right? You know, like, I go by Jax a lot. And do you ever see, like, if you do the numerology on, like, a birth name versus a nickname that actually is, you know, people may even identify with a persona. Have you ever, like, done the numerology on the alter ego, so to speak, and see if that number kind of matches that alter ego even? If maybe we're subconsciously choosing nicknames that also will correspond with the numerology?
Let's let Rhea answer that because she's nodding.
Exactly. When we take the birth name, first of all, and the birth date, but it's very important, as Cheryl was mentioning, married name, nicknames, alternate personas. We factor all of those in. The second question I ask, what is the name that you use and the spelling every day versus your birth name? And quite often you'll find that the numbers are very similar, if not the same.
Okay, Jack? Sorry, I got mildly depressed. So I'm kind of curious. Check the attack.
Were you interested in do you know your life path number from your birth date?
I don't remember it. I mean, I've calculated it before, and I don't remember it.
All right.
So I don't care. If you want to play with something, that's cool.
Well, it's up to you if you want to. I'm just asking if you're interested. If you're not, don't worry about it either. It's not. It's just if you're interested in knowing about either, even your name, or your birth date, if you just kind of wanted to, because your question is specific because your name is Jackie, correct?
Yeah.
We can
just try it. If we want to try it with the nickname versus the birth name and see if the theory holds or if it's just random and fun.
It could be both.
It could be both.
It could be a holding theory and randomly fun. So Rhea's doing your...
And that's even better.
So do you... Okay, so Jackie or Jacqueline, what is your birth name?
Jackie, J-A-K-I-E. I do not have cool parents.
Is it J-A-C-K-I-E or K-I-E? I only heard K-I-E.
C-K.
C-K. Okay, so Rhea's doing the calculations.
Yeah, so that would make a difference because Jackie would come out as a 3. I'm not even doing the soul numbers, just the number on the name alone. And Jax is more of an 8. So, for instance, Jax would be more to do with power, money, control, more in control name. Whereas Jackie, as 3, we have the communication skills are more amplified. Humor, whereas 8 is more of a serious number. So it does make a difference with your name, even though J-A and J-A is both, and those are very powerful combinations. We call them double one. We call them like success numbers, if you will, in sequencing. So that part stays the same. You've retained that. The only difference would be Jax would make you more of a serious versus Jackie is more playful, more fun, more humor.
Was that random fun?
It was definitely random fun.
Can I ask you, was Jack something you chose for yourself, or was it something that someone gave you and it stuck?
Well, like, way back, the first time anyone used it is I had a history teacher call me Jackson, and then... I didn't actually really get much of a nickname until, like, high school or really even later. And then when I went online and I, you know, was picking stuff, you know, I just kind of said, hey, that'll work. And then now in the Jedi community, that's what everyone knows me as. So it kind of was kind of both. I mean, people randomly gave it to me because it's kind of a logical nickname. So... It's
do you
kind
connect
of both.
With,
I mean,
do you, Do you connect with the name Jax more than Jackie?
Probably, but it just kind of depends, too, on the situation. It's just, it's more gender neutral, and so that's always nice. Yeah. But
so Rhea's saying...
I guess it's weirder now because of Facebook, like, everyone knows whatever name you put in there, and so now I'm getting it totally mixed where, like, people use both, and it's more fluid, so maybe I'm merging my two personas.
That's cool.
That could be true. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that Jax that is more about, you know, being more in control and more serious. And then you've got the playful you too, right? You've got the more, you know, sense of humor, playful Jackie. So it might be just kind of like a melding.
Right.
I can see that actually. I can see a bit of melding.
So, yeah. I don't know.
But anyway, well, it makes sense anyway, and I think that the melding is definitely, like, even with the 8 and the 3, it's like two numbers that probably wouldn't, you know, go together, mm-hmm. But I definitely do see some kind of, it doesn't have to be that concrete with you.
Right, right.
Because you're still retaining your that power, that individual, both names starting JA and JA, so you're still retaining that part of it, and it's basically like you said, that's part of the melding part, that's the overlap, if you will. So you could have best of both words. I don't know how often you use that. Most people they'll have, like, say, a stage name or a pseudonym or whatever, and other people will totally take over with the nickname. So it depends how you're using both quite often, or you prefer one?
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's the thing, like, with the online, I'm using, you know, Jax all the time, but then on Facebook, where, you know, I'll interact with a whole different type of person, or some of the same people, but, you know, they'll, you know, use whatever context you're in, so at this point, I use them both pretty equally, but it's just what sphere of my world am I at work, am I dealing with family, or... am I dealing with Jedi stuff and all my friends and stuff like that? You know, then it ends up being like kind of like what sphere am I working with? And oh, those are overlapping a lot more lately.
With Jax, the other thing that it that has the propensity to have more ups and downs, like a roller coaster, perhaps, I want to say, like, either you have a lot of money or no money, you're really successful in relationships or you're not. It has that propensity to it.
So just be aware.
Be aware, pal.
Yes, exactly. Being aware is very good.
Well, being aware is probably the most important thing we can all do as people, because... far too often we just kind of let things slide, or, you know, we're too tired or too busy to really dig into something. And I think that numerology is something that I have been too tired to dig into. but finally, I'm really interested in it, and I'm glad we're doing a show on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you.
The way I look at it is I think I like numerology better for, like, looking at, like, days, like power days, and looking at times and getting the messages from the numbers, you know, when you see repetitive numbers and that sort of a thing. That stuff I like more because, like, it reminds me more of, like, you know, like, you can nudge. So, like, if, say, your guide or someone is nudging you every day, and then you happen to look at the clock, and the clock says 11:11, and you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Eventually you realize that's, you know, a pattern, and then you look it up and you go, oh, that's a really cool number, you know?
Is there anybody else's numbers you want really us to look at? Like a father or brother,
look
or Carrie's?
For fun, just to see.
Sure, Carrie's? What's Carrie's, how do you spell her name, and what's her birthday?
First, you spell it the same way as the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
R-R-I-E. And then, One is
382.
1382.
Okay.
So
We are calculating. Okay, it's coming.
Well, six, I mean, this is a person who we call, like, cosmic parent, cosmic mother, cosmic father number, feels responsible for other individuals, the nurturer, the caretaker, has natural, you know, healing abilities, can be in healing arts, whether that's psychological, physical, etc., spiritual, can be stubborn, sweet talker, definite sweet talker. Three would have probably nice eyes, nice smile. Again, a bit of humor, which is needed. It's very healing for this individual. And the name is going right along with a birth date. So basically, it's kind of a person, what you see is what you get.
Does that ring true?
Yeah.
That's based on Carrie's first name only and also her birth date.
Right. So, cool.
Cosmic mother, I like that. Yeah. I wouldn't mind being cosmic mother. I want to be six.
She wants to be six.
Change your name.
Well, thank you again for calling in, Jax, and I hope that, you know, we were able to give you, I don't know, it's interesting to play with this and also to see the truth in it too and what resonates, right?
Right, totally.
We think you're cool.
Always good.
Nice.
I think you're cool, too.
So I just want to thank you, and hopefully you'll tune in for our next show. We're thinking, actually, of talking about dreams. What do you think of that?
That'll be cool.
Well, we'll be able to talk to you some more, and
it's
that's cool, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, we're going to be talking about dreams. So that's going to be a really neat show as well. So call us then, and in the meantime, stay in touch and know that we love you and appreciate you very much. And trusting that your situation is going as well as you wish it to, what we were talking about the last show, remember?
Yep.
All right. Take care, Jax.
All right, you guys have an awesome night.
Thank you. You too. Hugs to Carrie as well.
All right.
Bye.
If anybody else Bye. Wants to call in, we have only a few minutes left, so it won't work too long of a call, but you could have a quick one.
I just wanted to touch on, before we say goodnight to everybody, I wanted to touch on the 11-11 and the 12-12. And I think that we should talk about that because right now you see that all over the place. Mm-hmm. People are somehow tapping into 11-11, and even Jax mentioned it. So I just felt that we should discuss that. And then maybe Rhea brought up the whole 12-12 thing now, mm-hmm. too. So it's not just 11-11. 12-12 has some significance as well. So let's just first talk about sure. the 11-11 that's been around, I don't know, since how many years now? People have been talking about 11-11.
Long time.
Yeah. So what is it about, specifically about 11-11? My understanding, I'll just share my understanding and then you can expound on it. My understanding is that 11-11 acts as kind of a snapshot. Mm-hmm. It's like a bulb goes off, and it's also about manifestation in that moment too. It's a snapshot of where you are, where we are in our mindset, in our consciousness, and that whatever it is that we are consciously in is actually being manifested and being, it's like a shot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very focused now when I see 11-11 to get in the zone real fast and to be all of my head thoughts and my mind is about any wishes or any hopes or whatever I have. It's all about I want to think on about love, and I want to think about light, and I want to think about the higher things, because I don't want that snapshot to be of I'm having a pissy day and I'm not gonna I'm out to, you know, I'm not feeling good today. So is there anything that you can kind of maybe expand on?
Again, to go right with it being like a digital code, if you will. And so when people experience an increased frequency of noticing that, what it is, it's creating synchronicities and changes in one's
reality in life to understand their higher purpose, where their consciousness is elevating to, and hence 12-12, same thing, the ascension. So like you said, it's a snapshot, and what that means is to take a look at where you are right now. Are you happy with that? Is it serving your highest good? Is there something that you need to change with that? Because you will continue seeing 11-11-11-11 over and over and over again. It's like an activation. Where cool. are you and where are you going? It's also, it's a higher octave of two. While 11-11 is two, it also is reminding people of balance of masculine and feminine energies, and also the increased psychic or spiritual vibrations that it brings to people.
Cool. So that's why everybody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even, it's like even my mother's talking about it, and she's not, I mean, she's spiritual, but she's also very, much into religion. So it's interesting to kind of see that she's spiritual, but she's very religious, but she's also noticing the 11-11 coming up around her too. So,
yeah.
So we're just going to ask Don if he wouldn't mind getting the fusion up, because we're going to talk a little bit about 12-12 before we say goodnight to everybody. And then we'd like to leave you with our song, The Fusion, because it is about love and coming together and the love revolution. And I'm typing upside down, so I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, let's talk about 12-12, because that's something that you actually brought to mind for me, Rhea. Mm-hmm.
And 12-12, much like here we are in 2012, same type of vibration, 12. I'm talking about the Mayan calendar and all of that. And 12 is a 3, resonating with you. Again, you're talking manifestation, and also 1 and a 2, 1 being the male principle, 2 being the feminine principle.
Wow.
So you're seeing a shift from, if you will, patriarchal into a more matriarchal ascension process with 12-12.
Cool.
And you know, manifestation abilities, a quickening.
Beautiful.
Which is
I love
what
12-12
that. 12-12 is a shift in consciousness.
That's so great. Well, we have 30 seconds, so we would like to say goodnight and tell you thank you, Rhea. Thank you so much for offering your expertise.
Thank you, guys.
And I don't know if Don has some time to do our to do the fusion as our outro, but this is Cheryl Catherine Smith signing off. Rhea, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all for joining us for numerology. And Ash,
kiss a tree and have a beautiful afternoon. And night and morning.
And join us for our next show on dreams. We love you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, ladies.
Universe encompasses me beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled on earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled on earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all. Bring our love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were about. And to me the forgotten thieves pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not bounded with exclusion. Bring our love in for the fusion. We live in a world. Illusion. It serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be on this beautiful planet. And welcome to the creative field. I am Jeannie Martin, and I'm your host here on bbsradio.com every second Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, rain or shine. And I just want everyone to know that we are here because of the support of our sponsors, the Emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat and Conference Center in Abbotsford, B.C. I just want to let you know that I'm actually talking to everyone from Edenvale. I'm one of the few blessed individuals that's able to live here at Edenvale, so I can't say enough about the beauty and the energy and the wonderful natural setting of this lovely retreat. So if you're planning a retreat and people come here from all over the world, just give Edenvale a call and they can send you all the information that you need. It's home-cooked meals, organic land, 117 acres of just beautiful paradise. So check out Edenvale online at www.edenvale.com and have a look around on the virtual photo gallery that's there. So I also want to say that the creative field is, I don't know whether I can say that it's truly landed in terms of what it is, because it's a very vast scope of guests that we invite to come on the creative field for the program. And for me, I believe that the creative field is here to do just what it says, to provide a creative field for ideas and solutions that support a sustainable, harmonious life on planet Earth, and to focus on what is possible. We hear so much about, wow, what a mess the world is in, and what do we do now? Well, there's plenty that we can do. We just have to stop for a minute and listen to some of the wonderful people that are doing things right on the ground every day to support sustainable, peaceful life on planet Earth. So before I introduce my special guest tonight and my wonderful friend, I would like to invite all of you to join in our conversation. We welcome your comments and your questions, so you can call in for free and ask any questions or give any thoughts that you wish. And the number to call in toll-free is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So please feel free, call in at any time during the program, and BBS will let us know that you're online, and we'll have a chat. My guest this evening is a very special person in my life, Reverend Barbara Leonard, Senior Minister of Inner Garden Chapel, which is in South Surrey, British Columbia. And I just can't say enough, there's so much more to Barbara than titles. And she has an incredible history in this part of the country, in her spiritual and her gentle, all of the things that she's done and all of the time that I've known her, and that's a long time now. Some have even known her maybe twice as long as I have, but she's a very important part of my life. I feel that she's like a spiritual sister. Our individual pathways seem to wander along beside each other, and those things, in unseen ways that are hard to describe. And then every once in a while, we have a golden opportunity to be together in special ways. And tonight, this is one of those ways. Barb and I decided to come together this evening to offer an open forum of our thoughts on many different subjects. We believe that these subjects are all connected to other forms of sustainable life. However, many of them may not appear to be connected immediately. It may take time for some of these ideas to settle in. Some of our perspectives might resonate with you and others might not, and that's okay too. The beautiful thing about the creative field is that it is that. It's creative. It's not in a box. It's not a doctrine. It's a creative field, a place to create new perspectives and to share what is percolating in each one of us individually. So tonight we're going to invite all of you to jump right in and ask questions or give your perspectives. It's going to be an open line show, and it's so much richer with our listeners participating. So if you can, please do. After that and all of that, Barbara, it is so wonderful to have you with me tonight. Welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you for inviting me. What a great honor this is. We haven't been on the air together since we were doing our show together.
That's right. And you're the only one who can give us an outline of your life and some of the high points that as you've been in the world of spirituality and all of the other worlds that you touch around that, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about.
Well, we're celebrating my 60th year of working in this field.
Wow.
Started when I was about 17, not particularly knowing what I was doing, but had learned that tea leaves were a good focus point through another lady who was an extremely good interpreter of the leaves. So she didn't actually teach me, but she mentored me in as much as that I would go home and look at people's cups, and then I would come back and say, hey, Mabel, what does this mean? What does that mean? And then it didn't take too long till I found out it means what it means to you. So that makes it real simple. If you decide to read tea leaves and you see a symbol in the cup, it means what that symbol means to you, not what it means to me, because you're the reader. So I started there and probably went a pathway that was more orthodox as far as my spiritual side of my life, but I would read, didn't know anything about what we call spirit. I didn't know anything about talking to the departed, except that I wasn't going to talk to no dead people. And I was told once I would make a good medium, and I thought, not me. No way am I talking to the dead. But however, that's all I knew about mediumship. When I was about 29 years old, a Sunday school teacher at Anglican Church, I was involved being beside a fellow who was in a severe accident and trying to keep him calm, waiting for the ambulance and speaking with him. And in the process of that, had put my hand on his chest to show him that, and place his hand on my hand to show him that there, that it wasn't blood that was running, but water. The rain was hitting my hand. And in the process, some thought came across my mind, brush the curls from his forehead. And as I did that, I had an accelerating surge of energy come through my body that was the warmest, lovingest feeling I'd ever experienced in my life. And it just was indescribable. I couldn't describe it. So when this chap would be talking to me, he could hear everything. But when anybody else would talk to him, he couldn't hear anything, and I'd repeat it, and he would hear it. So subsequently, in the next couple of days, I found out that through another friend of his that came into my store and said, well, you know, he had been hurt. And I said, yes, I'd been at the accident with him. So he came back in the next day. He said, do you know that he thought you were an angel? Because you were surrounded with blue light, and you were the only voice he could hear. Well, about 3 days, I had been walking with this high energy and had asked my Anglican priest what this was, who, by the way, should have been able to tell me. But long story short, he didn't, because he wasn't supposed to, I guess. And I went down the path of science first and went back to school, studied biology, where I found the matter and energy connection, and then went into the spiritualist side of it as far as the communications go, with being able to communicate with not the dead by any stretch of the imagination, but the living, that they're living before they come here, they take a physical journey, and then go back to the other side, and we're able to communicate with them, which is the bottom line. And so all of the communication that's done that way is basically the understanding that life is a continuum. And that's kind of a shortcut, but I did some TV work and some radio work, a lot of things in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the early part of 2000 was basically my heyday, let's put it that way. And I'm hoping that the heyday isn't over, because now we have this beautiful chapel that we've had for 5 years, and it's just growing and growing and growing.
I know, there's almost spilling out of the doors.
Well, we had a surprise for you, because the wall's down.
Oh.
And we have one large chapel with only one small office. So you'd be really surprised when you go in. I should have kept the surprise for you, but we haven't finished the work. We just got the wall down a week ago, last Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We took the electricity out of it, took the wall down, put the electricity back up into the ceiling, and we're ready on the Thursday to open for a large dam from our young people from Wales. So obviously the finishing work isn't done, but we do have the space now.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, that's good news, Barb, because I knew, and I've seen it grow and grow and grow since the day you walked in there.
Yeah, just amazing. It started on BBS Radio actually 5 years ago last December with an online church, which was my only thought, was that Dawn had, through Derek, White Sky Cloud, had asked me if I would come on and have an on-air church. And that was, as far as I was concerned, it was going to be me running a church. But, God has a plan for me. It was greater than I thought.
And it's not anywhere near over yet, girl. There's a lot more chapters to write.
Well, I am hoping so, because we've got so much going on right now. It's just unbelievable. A big conference in the fall, which you're going to be at.
Yes. And the date of that conference for our listeners?
Well, September the 28th, 29th, and 30th, and we're already selling what we call the passports for that, which can be bought on a layaway plan so that you don't have to take it all at one time.
Good. But, well, you know what we could do, Barb? We can give them all the information and the contact information, everything, when we're
at the end.
At the end of the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be our big thing for the year. We've got lots of things going on. We've just had the Reese's here. But anyway, we were going to talk about some other subjects as well.
Oh. Well, you know, as you know, the creative field is just that. I see it like a field, just like the book, The Field.
Mm-hmm.
In the field, there's a lot of information. And when it's a creative field, it's like a bubbling sea of vibration that's just waiting for something new to move into it and take form. That's how I see it. That's how I believe it. And as you know, too, as we talk about quantum physics and the way that reality works, and that's the way reality works, it seems. However, we know that there's something that drives that. There's something before that. And the creative field, we've had some wonderful guests on that have talked about gardening and just different things to sustain life, and the beekeepers, they're wonderful people saving bees. But I know, and I know that you know, that you can learn how to live on the land and you can be at peace, but there's another component to that, and that's inner peace, that inner garden.
Yeah, that's for sure, and that's where the name came from, the chapel, really.
Yeah.
The fact that most of the teachings that I had, I used to have a program that I ran, which was a kind of a workshop, a seminar and workshop, called Gardening for Success. And it was when I had my secular business at a center that basically that's what we did. We did motivational teaching and teaching people how to be able to find their center of themselves and be able to accomplish the dream that they wanted to accomplish. And I used to call it Gardening for Success, and a lot of people thought it was gardening and then wouldn't realize that it was basically a life help thing until we explained to them what it was. But, you know, we don't sometimes realize how close all the levels of our existence are, because we have what's called universal law, and it doesn't change from level to level. So if you really want to know how to live in harmony and happiness and all the rest of it, you got to look at what the farmer does.
Absolutely.
Because what happens on a physical level is the same thing happens on a mental level, and the same thing happens on a spiritual level. So what you put into the ground, whether it be physical, mental, or spiritual, is what you're going to get back. And I was talking to one of the girls today at the church, and I said, you know, you could put corn in the ground, and you're going to get corn. And all the praying over that corn is not going to turn it into broccoli. And all the positive thinking in the world is not going to turn that into broccoli. You're going to get what you put in there.
Right.
So the same thing happens what you put into your mental garden. What you put in there is what you're going to get back.
Yes, and that's a perfect point here. When we know that our beliefs, our personal beliefs, are what's creating our reality.
Oh, definitely.
And the idea of looking at your life out of your eyes and having a look at what you're seeing, what's it feeding back to you? Is it chaotic? Is it fearful? Is it whatever? You got to go inside to figure that out. You got to go inside to do the gardening.
Exactly.
Right? Yep.
Exactly. So if you are feeding garbage in, garbage out. You know, so in your mental level, if you're going around fearful and always kind of on the edge, being afraid that, you know, somebody's going to get advantage of you, or they're going to get something more than you or whatever, you're surely going to have it happen. It's going to happen. You're going to set yourself up for it because you've needed it.
Yeah.
So people don't realize how much actual responsibility they have for what they think. You know, I mean, Einstein has said that you can't solve a problem with the same mind that creates it. So if you think about that, I mean, that's just the same thing. If you create a problem, you can't solve the problem with the problem and with another problem. You've got to find some solution, something different to solve that problem.
I know, all of us, and I look back over my life and I shudder at some of the times when my mind was in a certain space. However, I know that maybe sometimes I had to go through that experience just to appreciate at this part how I totally can completely see how I co-created my life.
Exactly. And you know, saying that, Jeannie,
mm-hmm.
you cannot beat yourself up.
No.
For those times that you think you made an error of judgment.
No.
Or that you think you planted the wrong seed. You know, if we plant corn and we find out we're allergic to corn later, well, you know, we got the corn, did the best with the corn that we could with what we knew, and we ate the corn, sold the corn, did whatever we did with the corn, but going back and look at the corn stalk, it's dead now on the stalk, and hollering down there saying, I think you should have been broccoli. I think you should have given me more corn than you did. Really... You know, that's basically, it's gone. Even God can't change that.
That's right. And, you know, hindsight, of course, is golden, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just hoping that this hindsight that might appear that way is actually some form of wisdom that you can pass on to somebody else so they don't fall in the hole.
That sounds like Wayne Dyer. Did you see his latest program?
No.
Oh, well, when you're saying about falling in the hole, it's on there goes my tongue, on the Knowledge Networks, right?
Okay.
And he's got the program on there now, but one part of it, he talks about this woman who was asked to write 5 chapters of her life. And the first chapter said, I walked down the street, there was a hole, I fell in it. The second chapter is, I walked down the street, I knew there was a hole, but I still fell in it. The third chapter, I walked down the street, I seen the hole, I walked around it and fell in it. The fourth chapter is, I walked down the street, tried to avoid the hole, but couldn't avoid the hole, I fell in it. And the fifth chapter was, I took a different street.
There you go.
I love it. You know what? That's a whole philosophy in her five chapters.
In a nutshell.
With five lines.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I find one thing, as you know, I don't usually even mention this online, but I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I teach clinical hypnotherapists.
Yes.
Because of my passion of wanting to know how the mind actually works and how the heart works along with the mind and how we co-create our reality and how deep the mind goes.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the most powerful things that we got to quit doing is calling ourselves down.
Oh.
Do not talk bad about yourself, no matter what you think you should or could have, would have done.
Well, you know, for one thing, you know, we should not say shoulda, coulda, woulda to ourselves, and we also should never say that to somebody else.
Right.
I had, you and I both know a young priest, right?
Yes.
From the Anglican Church. Very wonderful guy who said to me one time, nobody should be should on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how true is that?
That's true.
Because it's easy for people to go around and say, you should do this, you should do that, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. But the real truth is, we cannot walk in their moccasins. They have to do. No counselor, for one thing, has a right to tell somebody what they should do. And, you know, I heard different people say, well, my guide said that I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that. But they're not listening to a guide. A guide is exactly that, a guide. If they're saying you shouldn't do something, then they're taking away your responsibility. They can
mm-hmm.
give you kind of insight, which will make you become aware that maybe that's not a great idea, but we really shouldn't be putting that responsibility on another person or a guide to make decisions.
Exactly.
You know?
And for those, I really want to just reiterate, don't talk bad about yourself.
No.
You are, equal spirit on the planet Earth. There isn't one person listening or talking on this program that hasn't maybe made decisions that didn't turn out so great.
Well, exactly.
But, you know, really.
But, you know, I wonder, aren't they really errors of judgment, which I tend to like rather say I made an error of judgment there, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But are they really errors of judgment, or are they planned detours to teach us something?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Clive and I were talking about that thing. There's, mm-hmm. I personally believe that there's a divine flow that's guiding all the little chickens
mm-hmm.
one direction. And so you don't get too far out of that, even if it appears that you might be what some might consider evil or doing evil things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a hand in this, an intelligent design that has got us safely in hand as we go through this field of possibility and make decisions that maybe go off in one direction or the other. But the bottom line to it is that as we move through that river, that field of possibility, with that guiding hand pushing us, even if we sit on the couch, we're still being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
To an evolution. We're going to be all right, and we have to know we're all right inside too. Forgive mm-hmm. yourself.
Well, you know, sometimes we need to keep it a bit more simple than what we do.
Yeah.
Everybody looks for all the complications. I think life has got to be complicated, or the solution has to be complicated, and we look past the simple solution that's been put on our plate and say, "Well, that's too easy.
Mm-hmm.
That must be a trick." You know,
yeah.
So. We tend to do that. But, you know, you and I have worked together in different projects and in different churches and whatnot. And if you stand, say, Heather Quinney and you and I together, who were all ordained at the same time, each one of us are the best at what we do.
Yeah.
I am the absolute best at what I do. I have absolutely no doubt that what I do is the best. And I am the best to do that particular thing. But you're better than I am at what you do. So that's fine. So I can honor you and give you all of the help and all of the energy and all of anything that I can possibly do to assist you to get to where you need to go. And you can do the same thing for me, and it's not taking anything away from each other.
No.
Because I am better than you are at what I do, you're better than I am at what you do. And then there's somebody out there that's better than both of us are at what they do.
Absolutely.
And therefore, you know, like when three people are standing there in doing a project together, whether it be a workshop, a seminar, or whatever, and then what we're looking at is each of those people are the best in their particular field, where they're going and what they're doing and what they've got to offer. So therefore, we're all benefiting from being around them.
Absolutely, and we're benefiting each other just by our presence, our love.
Oh, definitely.
Just to be on this planet together.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's beyond the material things that come and go in the styles. I mean, I've lived long enough to see the skirt go to every level. What about you? And now there isn't any. Well, yeah, I think there is some skirts out there. But in time, it is like a cycle. But at the same time, that cycle is like a spiral.
And
it is spiraling into, for lack of better words, we don't have enough words to describe a higher level. It's not an up or a down thing.
No.
It's an expansion of energy that moves as each one of us thinks it up, acts it up, dreams it up, believes it up.
Well, this is the thing that everybody has, a theory. And, you know, the basis that we have as almost like a motto with Inner Garden is that all spiritual pathways lead to the same God.
Yeah.
By whatever name that might be, that God is the same God. So if people are having a big war over, you know, theirs is the right way and this one's the wrong way and whatnot, they're basically all going to the same God if they're going for the highest and best.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not going for the highest and best, then they're not going to that center within themselves where that creative field is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not touching that creative mind. They're not, whatever name, the source. I mean, Wayne Dyer is really great at talking about the source, uses that word. We in the church do use the word God in the chapel that we have. Some people just call it spirit. I mean, whatever they want to call it, you know, because you change languages and you say table in French doesn't make the essence of the table different.
No. And, you know, when I was a little kid, it was one of my, I guess you'd call it a hobby, to go to all the churches in my neighborhood. And I even went to the Lutheran church and they didn't even speak English. But I really wanted to see And I remember going to the Catholic church, and the nun gave me this beautiful rosary, and I was only like, oh, I don't know, 8.
Yeah.
And I still got it.
Yeah.
And I sort of, to me, and then like you, I went a little bit more into the science, because I didn't want to sort of hang out in the fluff, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to know the science behind what we already knew. And quantum physics really took me to a place that made me even honor that divine intelligence more.
Well, this is the thing. I think this is what happens. And see, my pathways was more orthodox when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And even until I was 30, I was in one of an orthodox church, the Anglican Church of Canada, and I was a Sunday school teacher, and I'd been Brownie leader, and, you know, was doing all the things on that kind of spiritual side in my own little world. But when I did, you know, kind of go back to school and study the science side of it, it certainly opened up my thinking there. And then when I went back into the Anglican Church for a service now, then I would look at when I would hear them say, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the life ever after made a lot more sense to me once I had studied science and once I had studied other religions.
Yeah.
And other ideas that other people had, because it was a broader thing. It took God off the mountaintop, you know, where it was thunderbolt and lollipop God, where I thought he was just a little bit bigger than my dad, and he sat up on the mountain there with his big long beard. And if I was good, I'd get a lollipop, but if I was bad, I was going to get a thunderbolt. And it took that that out of that essence of belief system to being something that was basically an image of a human being, God, that was, you know, could get angry and you know, you could really be punished if you were bad and all the fear things that go with it, took it to a greater thing and realized that in the greater thing, with the source being the source of all life, then everything comes from the source, and it's how we use it, not what we do,
yeah,
but how we use the things in our life that make the difference.
Yeah, and you know, for some people that have personalized God, can be saying, well, if God was really good, then this and that wouldn't happen. Well, it's not anything like that.
Well, this is the thing, and I think a lot of times you hear people say, why me?
Yeah.
Well, really, if we're all children of God, why not me?
Yeah.
It should be the question, why not me? Why would I be any more special in that loving energy than you are?
Mm-hmm.
So if it could happen to you, it could happen to me.
You bet.
So I have to accept that that's part of my walk here.
Well, you it's this thing about balance, the mind-body-spirit balance.
Yeah.
And when, you know, one thing that I think most people can accept is, you know, if you see a horse running through a field, kicking up his heels in the sunshine, he's doing that for the fun of it. He's doing, the spirit of the horse is feeling that freedom.
Yeah.
That's the spirit that's really inside every one of us.
Yeah.
We all want the same thing, love and be loved, be safe and loved.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing's a lot greater. This is, I think, what we have to really come to terms with, is the whole picture. I mean, not just our little world, you know, that's in our own little reality, but the whole picture is a lot bigger. And there is a lot more to what goes on. I've kind of gone down the road from where the fact that if something has been done, one good example is with my mother, I got to the point that not only did I forgive her, but as I got older, I was thankful to her for the life that I had, because I feel she sacrificed her walk here to be who she was for me.
And
so, because my childhood was not exactly the same as the average person, not the type of childhood that people would have said, that's what I want my child to grow up in, right? So not only could I forgive that as I got older, but I could actually see where maybe it was a benefit to me as I got older, because some of the things that happened in my life that gave me tools to carve the future that I have now, the future I'm living right now, would not have been there had I been in the same type of home as my cousins were and been with my mom and dad throughout my whole childhood.
I'm sorry, Bob, go ahead.
So if you look at it that way, you know, maybe the thing is that when she was in the other side, and sitting on that little white cloud being shown what her purpose was, maybe that wasn't really what she would have liked to do, but because that was a stepping stone that needed to be there for me, she chose to come and do that.
Very possible.
And so when you get to that point, then not only is it forgiveness, but it's gratefulness. And when it gets to that point, then you have absolutely no pain left in your heart, or no animosity left for anybody when you get to that point.
Yeah. It becomes a piece of your soul.
Yeah, it becomes part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, the events in my life would have been so different that I wouldn't be where I am right now, and I wouldn't be experiencing this call with you.
Exactly.
Because my pathway would have been so different had I not been raised the way I was and had been just raised with my mom and dad and a happy little threesome and spoilt rotten and all the rest of it, instead of, you know, being bounced from place to place. And I say, from that, too, had six sets of parents to base my choices on, which, how much more fortunate is that than having to live in one set of parents, get those solid concepts that are already formed and you don't get any option.
And what
so how much more fortunate was I?
What a beautiful way to look at it. And that's the difference between taking the road of victim or taking the road of wisdom, and I know that that could not have been easy as you lived through it. But your spirit chose
the
road of wisdom.
But it's interesting that I look back on it as well. And a lot of people say, oh, poor Barbara, when I was younger. And at the time, I wasn't really suffering all that much. I mean, there were a few hurts. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, there were special things that had special markers you could put in your life that was heart-rendering, right? That was painful. But you recover from that, and you go on, and your life is really good. Even though it's not in the same, you know, plan that the rest of the family were in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's important that you're saying this, too. There was a conference this last weekend called You Can Do It.
Yeah.
And it was Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden and Carolyn
Miller. Well, they're doing that this weekend, too.
Yeah, this week. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This weekend, right now.
Yeah.
I guess it's over by now, but...
Yeah, with...
That's all about saying you can do it. And it's a big step to close a doorway on the past and honor it and say, you know, I can lock the door on this pain that when I go, you know, I look back, I always feel it, and I'll put the key in the door and I'll lock the door, I'll put the key in my pocket, and if I want to go back and revisit it, I will.
Mm-hmm.
But from that closed door on, like a brand new baby, you can always begin a brand new picture, a brand new reality, a brand new belief system, mm-hmm. a brand new heart.
Well, you know, when I wrote the book, Don't Just Stand There Sucking Your Thumb,
mm-hmm.
right? In there, it says that in actual fact, if the same thing as they say all along, and there's a lot of people have said the same thing, when we know better, we'll do better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, fine, and dandy for all of us to say about ourselves, okay, I should have, could have known better, I should have done better, I should have done this, or the same thing about somebody else. That's why I say that we don't really give any help when we do things like that to ourselves or other people. Do you know what my mother went through when I was a child? She didn't go through that knowingly, if she did choose to do that as part of my path. She didn't go through it knowing that. And there were choices, and she made choices that she made and had to live with those. If she'd have known better, she would have done better. But whether she could have or should have known better, she didn't know better, so she did the best she knew how. And I think if we can say that to each and everything that has been traumatic in our life, then we can heal. But if we remain with our thumb stuck in our mouth, internalizing that pain and sucking on that problem or on that condition, and every time that that condition comes up, our subconscious, you know this from hypnosis, the subconscious believes it's happening again.
Yeah.
So now when you've had an abuse of some kind, okay, we'll say you had an abusive childhood where your parents were walloping you around or whatever, and now you're 45 years old or whatever. Every time that you suck your thumb on that horrible life, that child is being beat up again. And subconsciously, you actually are transported to that experience, and it's like it is again and again and again and again and again. So you keep reinforcing that horrible thing in your life and give it power.
Perfectly said.
So why would we want to do that? Why would I want to take a look at an error of judgment that I made And I may have decided at 20 to do something that was foolhardy. And at 30 years old, whipped myself to death from 30 years old when I learned better until I die every day with the horrible thing that I did. Why would I do that? Right?
Right.
So this is what is really, really important that we need to take a look at.
And some things become patterns, habits. Literally patterns. Patterns of the way that we talk about ourselves. Patterns of our story.
Yeah.
And we need to have a look at the story.
And the thing is that we tell the story, we believe the story the way we tell it.
Yes.
And so every time we tell that story, we're reinforcing that story. So that's basically what is going on, right?
Barb, what would you say, now this brings up a question in my mind. If people are going to change their story, there's a lot of fear around, well, what can I do? If I'm not doing this, what will I do?
Well, I will guarantee them that the time will be filled with more positive things.
For sure.
You know, a lot of people my age, and you know that I'll be 78 this year, and a lot of people my age are sitting at home bored to tears, and I think their days must be really long. And their life must seem like it's an endless nothingness. And I don't have enough time in the day, in the week, in the month to get done what I need to get done. Right now I'm looking at, you know, my spring cleaning should be done and it isn't going to get done. I may have to hire somebody. I'm looking at my bookkeeping is about 2 weeks behind because I've had, you know, people in from Wales, and I've been running back and forth with them, and so, you know, I haven't got all my bookkeeping done. Our year end's coming up. We've got all of these projects that are on at the center that we have ongoing and ongoing, and by the way, you're going to be there on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing creative mastery.
Exactly, and they're saying, boy, they don't know what that is, but they're coming for that. Sounds good to them, they said. So so look at this. I have not got enough hours in my day. My time goes by so fast that I've been advertising the young people from Wales since last December. They've here and gone now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm saying, like, where did that time go? They've been here and gone already. So how much time is it going to be that, just a little bit of time, till September comes up and we're into the biggest project that we've got going?
Yeah. And so people can, get their little motors running. There's still a flame in there somewhere. It just needs to be cranked up.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're in a chair, then, in fact, I was watching the Crystal Cathedral this morning. There's been a little bit of change and a kerfuffle going on there for the last few years. Anyway, the young Dr. Schuler has a son named Robert Schuler as well, but they call him Bobby, and he is also a minister now. And he came on, and he did an absolute fantastic service this morning. And that's the one thing that he was talking about, is, you know, with the people. So, you know, it's not just, you know, new age stuff.
No.
You know, just talking about the fact that, you know, if we're wheelchair bound, we can still help people. We could do phone calls for the organizations that are doing the work. We may not be able to go out into the field and help build houses when they have a hurricane or something, you know. But we can do fundraising. We can do, emails or something for the church. Or, you know, I have so much on my plate. I'd love to have somebody take some of it,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
So, and everything that they can do, time, energy, and money to run any organization, you know, to be able to be successful. And what you might think is next to nothing, I can't do it because I'm wheelchair-bound, or, you know, maybe you're even bed-bound, but you can still talk and you can use a phone. You know, maybe you could do the call list for the when they want to phone somebody, they'll do the prayer cycle and do the prayer circle or whatever.
Yeah, prayer circles are very powerful.
Yeah.
And
what better thing with the internet radio that when we had the online chapel on there, that on a Sunday morning they could turn on the online chapel and participate in it. But now they can go on our site, and they can, in the middle of the night, if they wake up and they're upset, they can go on and take and look at eight programs. Because we have eight running all the time.
So they
can turn on the chapel and get uplisted at 3 o'clock in the morning because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to leave their home. So if they're depressed, they can go and turn that on and watch one of the people who are talking. And I'm sure that if they were impressed to do that, whether it's ours or whether they turn on, you know, like one of the other programs, God will put them where they're supposed to be to get the information that will help them, to let them know that they're not alone.
And it's interesting, isn't it, that when you sort of when you get into the flow of the peace of yourself, and then you know you have to go inside on a regular basis to do the housekeeping.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, life takes over and it's very seductive, tempting life out there with all of its glitz and glamour.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, like you said earlier, you got to go inside and say, what am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I? How am I doing? How do I feel?
Yeah, we really do. Yeah. And also stop and listen. Like in the... when we played God Had a Dream for Me, by the way, and Cheryl was on just ahead of you,
yes,
and had her beautiful voice on our disc because send some nice thoughts to Celia, our pianist, her husband passed.
Yes.
And so we had no pianist this morning. And so we played the disc and people sang with it. And, you know, it's just really beautiful to listen to the plan that, you know, God has a plan for me. It says, has a dream for me, has a plan for me, if I'll let it be, and I need to open my hand, my mind, and my heart to what's there.
Yeah.
My God, you know, and that was sent music. I mean, that obviously was sent. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written it. I'm sure that I didn't write these things of myself. So when you think about it, that's really what it comes down to. I have to open my hand, my mind, and my heart.
And also, Barb, you know, it's not what you believe. It meaning in terms of a religious belief or
heavens, no.
Whatever. It's who you are in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to this young doctor, Bobby Shuler,
mm-hmm,
you know, he was talking this morning and he was saying, you know what, this isn't the church. This building is not the church. The church is the people. The people are the church. The people that are there, their belief, their getting together and wanting things to be successful, they're the church, not that building. You know, if we move from the building we're in now to another building, the building isn't the church. The building is a sanctuary, a nice place to gather, to have the fellowship. But we could do it under a tree.
Absolutely.
You know, you can be at home and be in your church. You know, you don't, the church is within.
It is.
And the belief, that how you believe. I have a friend that talks about, you know, God by any name is still the same God. And she said, yes, maybe he's a cosmic McMuffin. I think that's about a good description.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know,
well, you know, just it made me think when you talk about whatever you call it, whether it's God or the Great Spirit or whatever.
Creative force, yeah.
The thing that I think made one of the most biggest impact on me in terms of, and it was the first time I said, way to go, God.
Yeah.
There's a plant that grows in Africa, and it's bright yellow.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. And one of the petals of that bright yellow plant is black, and it looks identical to the bee that floats around there pollinating those. There's an intelligence in that. I went, way to go, God.
Yeah.
So no matter what you think, you don't have to name whatever it is. You just have to look around.
Yeah. Years ago, there was a white moth that was over in England,
mm-hmm.
and it mutated to be a gray moth because the buildings that they were it would cling to were so covered with soot that that if the white would have stood out, then there so they would have been eaten by their predator.
Oh, for goodness' sake!
Yeah, so the intelligence in that moth gave it a gray hue so that it could blend in with the grayness of the buildings. And it wasn't like it got covered with soot. These were brand new moths that came out of the, you know, chrysalis.
One thing I wanted to cover before we have to say goodnight is this technology, okay? And as you know, I've got 7 grandchildren and I've got 1 great-grandchild.
Oh, you're catching up to me. I've got 4.
There you go. And technology is a good thing, or you and I couldn't be connected this way, and we wouldn't know so much. You go on the internet, and you can visit Australia if you like, in a heartbeat, instantly. Uh-huh. Technology is a good thing, but I am concerned again about that balance.
Well, it's a two-sided sword. It's like a lot of good things.
Yeah, if you,
and you and I were talking just quickly when we were talking about coming on, and that's one of my shall I say, concerns that maybe I'd like to bring the awareness out, is that I'm really concerned that we're in a generation where we're driving the kids to school, and if you remember when you were a kid, you went to school. My kids went to school together with other kids,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it was 6 or 8 blocks that they walk. Sometimes it was almost 2 miles when they were at the country school. But, you know, so they learned to socialize. They learned social skills. They learned interpersonal relationship. And they learned to solve problems. Then they went to school. They came home from school, had cookies and milk, and went out and played till supper time. And outside, they, again, worked out things like games and things that they played, and they learned to play as a team. They learned that you don't always win. A lot of these things. And I'm really concerned that we are bringing a generation up that's not getting those experiences in our young life, and that we are having antisocial behavior. Because I was talking to Paul and Deb when they were over from Wales, and they said 13-year-old daughter will text downstairs and say, could you put an egg on for me? Hello.
Oh, God.
You know, no, I don't think so.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A little concern about, like, there's a good side and there's a not-so-good side of these.
Yeah,
just
and
like
it's
in the internet.
We're concerned with, if the power goes out, did you know how to plant a carrot?
Yeah, exactly. You know, if we were to have a great flood, if we were to have the great flood or some other catastrophe, do we know enough about survival to make it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Or even enough about social skills of working together.
And I think that that's all, again, part of that balance. What's absolutely
necessary. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But and then, you know, something that people don't realize, that this intelligence, because that's what I'll call it, an intelligence that we are created by, has such a unique and infinite wisdom that the owl lays 3 eggs. It only hatches as many eggs as there are support from the rodent population to support the young ones coming up. So if it's a low population in the rodent population, that they've been eaten down and, you know, they're very scarce, they'll only hatch 1 egg. If it's overrun with rodents in their area, they'll hatch all 3.
There you go.
Now, isn't that intelligence?
It certainly is. Well, we're at the end of our program already.
No.
I want you to be able to let our listeners know about the event that's coming up in September.
Yeah, if they go to the internet, we have the magazine online.
Is that intergarden.com?
Yeah, and inner-garden.com will get you there better. And so if they go there, it's on there, but a lot of people have the magazines. We have the physical magazine on, and you will see the list of speakers that are going to be at this conference. The food for the weekend is going to be magnificent. We're feeding everybody for the weekend. This isn't a conference where you have to go find your way. You're going to be able to eat there. You're going to have two main stage shows, 3 hours each night for the Friday and Saturday night. Work people coming in and doing little working seminars during the whole day, Saturday and Sunday. Going to be absolutely magnificent. And Friday, before everything starts from 3 o'clock until supper time, we're going to have a social time where we can interact with all the people that are going to be in it, so you'll be able to come in and meet all the people that are going to be in there and kind of network with them.
Yeah, and what, and the conference is called what? And
It's called the Diamond Anniversary Awareness and Networking Conference,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be at Sullivan Hall, and September the 28th, 29th, and 30th. And believe me, that's going to come up quick.
Mm-hmm.
The passports are $295. I said till the middle of June, but I may have to expand that because we're a month late getting the magazine out.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get started on their passport, they can pay it by the month if they want to. Say, you know, had they started right back in January, they could have probably paid $60 a month and had it all mm-hmm. paid for or whatever. But pay it by the month instead of having to pay the $295 all at once.
Yeah.
But it's probably their food bill would be about $100 if they were going to eat
mm-hmm.
during the whole conference. And all the snacks, everything, coffee, all the drinks, everything that are going to be provided throughout the whole conference.
And the speakers are speaking on what types of topics?
Well, a little bit of everything. You're going to do on the on yours there.
Or the mine.
Quantum. And, you know, we've got speakers that are coming in that are talking on everything from hypnosis. We've got Ted Koons coming in, whose piece begins with me. We've got even the fellow coming in that's going to tell you how to know if you have a business, never mind how to manage your business, but know if you have one and what not to do when you are in business so that you can maintain a business.
So it's a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. We've got a fellow that and his wife that come in, and they talk about teaching you how to be able to converse with people on a one-to-one or a group-to-one. So he's had really great success.
Wonderful.
At getting people doing public speaking, which is the scariest thing.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our show now, Barbara.
Okay, darling, I love you. Take care.
Thank you so much for sharing this time.
And thanks, BBS, for having us.
Absolutely, and I'd like to thank the Emissaries of Divine Light and Edenvale Retreat Center for continuing to be our sponsors so that we can come to you every second Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And I'll be seeing you, Barb, because I'm at Inner Garden on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
You are, too, and we look forward to seeing you.
Okay.
Have a good night, then.
You, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
And good night, everyone.